Congress the policies we lack. Keeping you connected to Northwest Florida and the world when you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And joining us now, we have Rodriguez Kimbrough. He is the director of mass transportation for the Escambia County Area Transit System, which is ECAT. Rodriguez, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News for the first time.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. By the way, thank you for joining us from Orlando this morning. You're at the American Public Transit Association Expo, APTA. I'm learning all these acronyms for the first time. And you are a board member for, I'm going to say FLAPTA or FLOPTA, but you guys say FPTA. That's the Florida Public Transit Association. So thank you for taking some time out to join us this morning. I appreciate it.
No, I definitely thank you for having me, and to all the citizens in Escambia County, again, as we look to drive towards excellence, hey, we definitely appreciate the opportunity to hear different ideas on how we can actually one day be an award-winning transit agency across the state of Florida.
Very good. I'm gonna just give you a little bit of background of what I've been saying on the air so you know kind of my perspective. I did read the transportation, the ridership study. And by the way, last year I had a conversation with Wes Moreno where I know you guys were doing the free rides for kids, and I had made the suggestion to him at that time, you know, what we ought to do is give free rides to everybody since so little of the operating revenue for ECAT comes from actual ridership. Let's do free rides for everybody and just take away price as a disincentive and let people ride the bus as they will and then do a ridership study to find out what would the real ridership be if we didn't have any barriers. Well, we didn't quite do that, but still, we've got this ridership study in front of us. And when I look at the number of riders on different routes, and I see the rides per day, that for some of them are fairly, you know, make sense to me, and others of them are more like there's 3 to 5 riders at a time on this route, and we subsidize it to the tune of $30, $40, $68 for the Century route dollars per rider, I start to ask the question, well, golly, if I were running this system, I would sell all the big buses except for maybe one or two, and I would buy a ton of, you know, hotel shuttles, like maybe 20 or 30, and then I'd buy a bunch of, you know, minivans, and I'd run the system that way. But that's me not knowing anything. That's me just the layman looking at the numbers. Now, Rodriguez, I know we're not doing that, but tell me where am I missing this? What do I not understand about this system?
Okay, well, so first, let's start off. A fare free system, those studies have been going on across the nation. There are systems across America that actually has fare free systems. I actually sat down with one of the what I call a premier transit professional who's been in the industry for over 40 years. And again, that's always my goal, is to learn more about transit, not only because I want to see us have a thriving system, but again, I want us to be great. I don't want us just to be a system that's just operating. Good. I want to be a great operating system, award-winning operating system. And so just sitting down, talking about fareless systems. So fareless systems in a small area like ours, that doesn't actually work. Now, I can tell you, though, your idea of getting rid of big buses and having smaller vehicles, that's actually, number one, that's always been my plan, right? Coming on board, that's something I push in the transit industry. That's actually called micro-mobility or micro-transit. And what that actually does is now that takes those larger 30, 35-foot vehicles that we have in our fleet. We're actually able to take those vehicles out of the neighborhoods. And number one, I just have to say that's for safety reasons. That's why you shouldn't have those vehicles going through those smaller neighborhoods. But then what you do is you have smaller vehicles it's easier to manage those vehicles, but you still need larger vehicles on your major corridors.
Sure.
Those major corridors, big buses going at a faster pace, because again, what makes someone not want to ride our service? Okay, not wanting to ride the service because every hour and half hour, you have vehicles. So if I'm going from point A to point B, That means that I have to be somewhere at the hour. So that means that's 1 hour. And then now when I want to leave point B to get back to point A, that's another hour. So it usually takes about 2 hours. So I can easily just get in my vehicle and drive. I come from the area. I understand. 16 years old in that area, we get vehicles. We want to get our license. We want to drive. Most thriving communities, they have a great transit system. And so that's always the goal. And it increased ridership. And also, too, just for emission purposes, to get single occupancy vehicles off of the road. That's actually my passion in transit, because that was what a commuter service is what initially got me interested in transit. Again, that's the actual goal.
I agree. If we can, you know, look, for just congestion sake, as a driver, you know, we do traffic on the fives in order to tell people where to avoid the problems. If we can get people to ride the bus because the bus becomes appealing, there was actually a time early on when I worked here that I thought, you know, well, let's look into this possibility of riding the bus to work. Let's just kind of see what would the cost and the time. And I was like, you know, can't do it. Yeah. But, you know, some people have no other alternative. I totally understand that. But is there a way to run this system so that we can have more desire to use it, so the money that's being spent would be, you know, more effectively spent, and, you know, less costly by, for example, using smaller buses? Even if we used, you know, I got to guess that on economies of scale, if you used two small buses in place of a single bus, you would actually have a more efficient, you know, less costly, and more people would probably ride it because they come more frequently, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm assuming all of that is right. But Rodriguez, hang on for just a second. I'm so glad that you joined us today. I want to hear more about what you're saying. We got traffic on the fives with Jake. We'll be right back to you, Rodriguez.
I-10 westbound, starting at the Pine Forest exit, we have an accident blocking all westbound lanes. FHP has set up a detour at exit 10. Also, East Olive Road and North Davis Highway, we have a vehicle crash from earlier blocking the left turn lane, so please use caution in that area. If you have any traffic tips, please text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to Rodriguez Kimbrough. He is the director of ECAT, director of mass transit for Escambia County. Rodriguez, one thing that concerned me, I know you're making a transition. That's the purpose of this ridership plan, is to make a transition to a new model for delivering service. And the broad strokes of that model, I very much agree with. My concern is that the model going forward is still based on the old way of thinking that formed the first model, which is, where are the people and where are the jobs? Instead of, where is the ridership? Yeah. And so I'm worried that we're building a system that's going to be responsive to a data set that isn't really the key one, because the key one seems to be, where are the people actually wanting to ride the bus? That seems to be coming from the ridership data, not from the strategic idea of, well, there's a lot of jobs here and a lot of people live there. Let's put bus routes in that area. Am I wrong in thinking that we're going on the wrong premise?
Yes, because again, one of your key performance indicators in transit is your actual ridership study. And my whole goal, we had six goals. And one of the goals while doing this operational analysis is, guess what? Not just where the population is located in the ridership, but I also want that ridership to get to the jobs. That's how we're going to get the single occupancy vehicles off of the road. And yes, you are correct. Smaller vehicles is actually a great thing. Anyone that knows me and actually sat down and actually spoken with me, they actually will see my passion is to emissions, lower the emissions rate, right? That's how you become award-winning transit agencies. Having more ridership, that's actually how you become an award-winning transit agency. But again, changing the mindset, I'll be the first to say, yes, we are archaic in Escambia County when it comes to our transit system, but because it's been the same for over two decades. But the thing is, in order for us to get to a point to where we can actually drive that change, yes, you first have to have the conversation like we're having right now, right? And we have to have a clear understanding, okay, just getting rid of the big buses, if that was possible, the Federal Transit Administration has a 12-year useful life cycle. So those vehicles, they were purchased, right? They were purchased before my time. And again, at one point when I first arrived, we had at not one point purchased any big vehicles. So we had 1998s, 1999s. And so those had to be replaced, because when you're writing your Federal Transit Administration grants, they have line of accounting. And a lot of those grants that we had, and I have to shout out my staff. My finance staff, my grants coordinator, and my operations manager and everyone, we got a new team there. We've taken those old grants. When I arrived, we had 2011, 2012 grants. Those grants, hey, I couldn't change what those items were already budgeted for. So I still had to make those purchases to allow us to be able to now get into a dawn of a new era, allow us to be able to get to a point to where now, hey, while we're writing our 2021 grants, our 2022 grants, our 2023 grants, we're looking to purchase smaller vehicles. So that's our actual goal.
That makes a lot of sense to me. You're kind of encumbered by the decisions and the grant funding of the past, and I appreciate that. And I love hearing you ardently advocate for the smaller vehicles as a form of efficiency, because it's going to both cut costs and deliver better service to the end user, which is, you know, that's like you say, how do you make an award-winning transit system? Before we let you go, Rodriguez, I did want to let you clear up something that I just want. I think people have this misconception about buses, and I want to give you a chance to explain it, because I know it's not the way to. We don't make the money to run the system on the fare box. The fare box is, you know, 5-8% of the operating cost of a route. Some are as high as 10, but there's only one that's that high. Some are as low as 2%. But at the same time, taxpayers aren't paying this out of like their ad valorem taxes either. The money does come from taxpayers, but it comes from federal money and state money and some from the local option gas tax. The other 95% of operating costs does not come from the general budget of Escambia County, right?
That is correct. We do not operate out of the general fund of Escambia County. We have I have to say again, the staff. We have a staff here now, a team that's being built, that's dedicating themselves to put in for more grants, service development grants. We're actually taking all types of competitive grant opportunities. We're doing everything we can now to actually push forward. But no, again, we receive FTA funding because, again, public transit is the Federal Transit Administration. They have regulatory guidelines for us to have public transit with the state FDOT district 3 from FDOT. I work tirelessly with them, and I have so much support from them. We are doing everything to get more grants.
Great.
So that we can have a better system.
No, that's fantastic. And look, I'm glad you're learning at the Orlando conference. I know that I'm novice to this. I know that I'm looking at this for the first time, but that's kind of why the report is out, you know, so we can have this conversation and people can think about this. And I appreciate you taking the, you know, challenging questions. Okay. And I knew you'd have good answers for them. And I learned a lot today talking to you. So I very much appreciate that. And I look forward to talking to you more in the future, because I want our transit system to run efficiently. I want it to be good customer service. I want it to be a viable option for people who wouldn't normally consider it. And of course, I want to see transportation needs for our poorest citizens who really depend on this system for their transportation. I want to see them taken care of. That's the reason we have it in the first place. Rodriguez Kimbrough, he is the director of ECAT, the director of mass transit for Escambia County. Thank you so much for the time this morning. Enjoy the rest of your conference, and let's talk again sometime soon, okay?
I look forward to it, because I'm homegrown. I love the system just as much as you will, any citizen.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. 653 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities.